in the whole 6010.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus. My name is Daniel Dobb, joined by Mike Clay and Stefania Bell. Boy, is an exciting day. It's March 11th, Monday. Free agency has opened up. You can tell because Mike Clay doesn't have a smile on his face. Nope. He is all business right now.
Well, like 3 minutes ago, Kirk Cousins signed per reports, per his agent, Mike McCartney, not Mike McCarthy, Mike McCartney, Cousins to Atlanta. So I'm literally updating the projections on my end. They're not public yet, but working on them on my end to get them set so we can get them into the game. And watching those skill players in Atlanta move up the rankings is to see. So we'll get into that in the show.
Yes, we will. Stefania, also great to have you here. You look way more happy. I think it's maybe because you just got home from Napa.
It's busy.
Is that why?
Maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's because my investment in Kyle Pitts is finally going to pay off. It's only taken 5 years.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Hey, let's start there, guys. This is going
to
be fun.
Mike Clay's in a bad mood because he really wanted me to trade him to him. And now he just found out that
we had the terms of a deal it got overturned. And that's his topic for another day. But anyway, I'm feeling good about this. I'm still very, very much a fan of Kyle Pitts. I feel like I've defended him now for years as public opinion, the court of public opinion on him has gone the wrong direction. Sticking with that, look, this guy has the talent. He already has a 1,000-yard season at age 20 on his resume. Things did not work out in the Arthur Smith offense, but now you bring in Zach Robinson, who is going to call the plays. He comes from the Sean McVay tree. We expect them to be more balanced, maybe even lean toward the pass. That's good. And then now you bring in Kirk Cousins, who was leading the NFL in passing touchdowns when he got injured last season. This Atlanta offense has the skill, the good offensive line.
Yep.
Now good skill players. Kirk Cousins could be one of the best in the NFL. Yeah. So exciting times here.
Can we just talk for a minute about the fact that nobody even thinks twice about the fact that Kirk Cousins coming off Achilles surgery?
No.
I thought I played the buzzkill role.
Well, you do, but your buzz is already so killed that I can't
I'm coming back. I told you. I turn it on.
I'm doing the reverse psychology on you, and it's working. So my role is the buzzkill role.
Okay.
Not necessarily, because, you know, when players are down or coming back from injury, I always try and look at the upside.
Absolutely. Yep.
But with reason. And I just think that it's funny to me that there is no concern whatsoever about Kirk Cousins. Now, I will grant
Should we have concern about Kirk Cousins?
Let's start here. What type of quarterback is he? He's not Jalen Hurts, right?
Nope.
He's not making the moves with his legs, but you still have to be nimble enough to move around the pocket, to plant, push off. One of the things we talked about with Aaron Rodgers coming off his Achilles was it was not his plant leg. He's not getting the energy to throw the ball with the Achilles leg. It's the one he steps into. With Kirk Cousins, it's the opposite. So, yeah, you get your power from that. So he got injured later. He has had a different process/recovery. Mm-hmm. And everything, you know, from everything we've seen, he's hitting his targets to get there. But the fact is, we don't really know what he's going to look like running around the field and throwing the ball. Well, and yet, he's on track to recover. I'm not saying there's something like he won't be ready. But in terms of reproducing the guy that you saw in Minnesota, we're not going to know that till we see it.
Mm-hmm. Good news is we just need him to stand in the pocket and throw the ball.
That's
unlike
it.
Some other quarterbacks who we don't need, like a Kyler Murray who missed a lot of time last year. We don't need him running around the field. So, I'm looking at where I had these players ranked before this news. Kirk Cousins, I had a QB 15. I think he'll end up about there, right? He doesn't run. That's going to limit his upside from a fantasy perspective. Bijan Robinson, I did notice in the projections, he moved up a little bit. I had him at RB4. I'm thinking we'll have him in the 2-4 range when things settle.
Okay.
Probably McCaffrey, Hall, then maybe Bijan is third. Wide receiver, the interesting one. I kind of made a sound when we were coming on the air because I watched Drake London go from wide receiver 27 up to wide receiver 15 in the projections.
Whoa!
A big jump.
Wow.
Now, they need a number two receiver, so we'll see how the target share works out, but a big boost for him.
They've got a number two wide receiver.
Oh, yeah? Who is it?
Kyle Pitts.
Okay. We'll talk about him in a second. An actual wide receiver.
Line up, okay. All right.
Out there, which Pitts does sometimes. But nonetheless, Pitts, I'm guessing in the 8 to 10 range, I think. Remember, the position is so deep now. We have so many quality options. We don't have to force it on Kyle Pitts, but obviously a lot of upside.
All right, so I want to ask this question, and we are going to get into Mike's rankings on today's show. All of this free agency news just sort of threw everything for a loop, so we're going to kind of play a little bit of catch-up, but we're talking about Mike's two early rankings for 2024. You mentioned Kyle Pitts, though. Stefania, I just want to ask you, obviously Kyle Pitts coming back from an injury last year, felt like maybe he wasn't fully healthy as he returned. Is there any concern for him going into 2024 for you?
Not right now.
Not yet. Okay.
But I do want to take a moment to just talk about the fact that I said for a long time there were all these flags for Kyle Pitts last season. And they were the fact that he had surgery for what was reported to be a torn MCL. And then they were still being so conservative with him in Atlanta when OTAs and that stuff rolled around where he should have really been better and clear. And you thought, well, okay, even if they're being conservative during OTAs, training camp, for sure, he'll be fully cleared. No, not only is he not doing everything, not taking all the reps, he's wearing a bulky functional brace that is not normal when you're coming off an MCL. And so I expressed concern going into last season about Kyle Pitts not being ready. I saw them when they had the joint practices with the Dolphins. Yep. I didn't think he looked great. He had moments, but I didn't think he looked great. What does he say after the season's over? Oh, much better after coming off that MCL, PCL repair. A multi-ligament knee injury is a totally different animal. And a PCL repair, those aren't that common. You have to be really protective of them in the early going. It makes sense why his recovery was slower. But this is just me standing up and saying, why can't we just tell what they had? And if they had said that he had it, you know, if the Falcons had said it, and maybe he wasn't in a position to, but I think you could argue it's not their business to tell the player's business, but I would flip that around and say it's not fair to the player because we're all sitting here wondering why isn't he back yet? This should be about this amount of time of recovery and he doesn't look like himself and you're wondering why and you're maybe questioning the player. The fact that we didn't know how much more significant the injury was tells you a lot. So I think that sets it up. It's kind of like when we talked about J.K. Dobbins' different injury, but we knew that there were some complications that slowed him down coming into that first year back, and then he was better in the second year. I would expect Kyle Pitts to be better coming into the season.
How about some bold prediction time? Kyle Pitts has 6 career touchdowns.
Okay.
He beats that in 2024.
Yes, he has more than 6 touchdowns.
Feel good about that?
I like that.
I think so. I think he gets there.
In part because Kirk Cousins, and we're talking about quarterbacks here, right? And we'll talk about a couple more in a moment, but Kirk Cousins knows how to find the tight end. Mm-hmm. It's not like he doesn't. So from that perspective, Mike, with everything that Stefania just said, you had originally, before this news, about 20 minutes ago, you had Kyle Pitts as tight end 12. Mm-hmm. You said that could potentially have him climb as high as tight end 8 to 10.
Yeah, probably somewhere in that range, just because, again, we have those guys, like you get into it with
some
Andrews and Kittle and now Trey McBride and Njoku and Ingram. Laporta, you have a lot of guys packed in there, so you don't have to force it on Kyle Pitts, but I think right in that, you know, I would say 7 through 10 range is where he's going to fall.
A very nice boost for this Atlanta Falcons team, getting a quarterback under center. It's everything we want.
I'm really curious to see how they run this offense.
Yeah.
You know, because it is going to look so, so different, I would imagine, from what we saw last year. And I just can't wait to see how they use all these different players. Bijan Robinson, not your typical running back. I mean, he has the potential to do what Christian McCaffrey does, which is, you know, balance the rushing yards with the receiving yards. He said he wanted to be a playmaker in the NFL, not to think of him as a running back. I think we can get that from him.
Absolutely.
And does Drake London, we already talked about that, but does he bump up to the next level? Who else do they get? Jonnu Smith is gone now. It could be the Kyle Pitts show.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
And you made a good point, which is just throw everything away that you knew about this Falcons offense. It's going to be completely different with Robinson there, no Arthur Smith, and obviously with Kirk Cousins there as well. And, you know, I just talked about Pitts with his touchdown issues and can he get over the top this year. Bijan Robinson last year had 2 carries inside the 5-yard line.
No.
Brutal.
I mean, and he still scored, but he still had 8 touchdowns last year.
Do you know how many Tyler Allgeier had? Did he take all of them?
I'm not sure how many Allgeier had, but it was more than 2.
It
was more than Bijan Robinson. This is offense will look way different, and the door is wide open for huge breakouts for Robinson, who has the capability to be the number one scoring fantasy running back, frankly.
Yep.
Drake London to be a wide receiver 1. That's his ceiling. Mm-hmm. He's been outstanding so far. And Kyle Pitts, of course, to be a top 5 tight end. They all have that possibility now in this situation.
I freaking love that.
So exciting. South just got a little more interesting. I know.
A little bit more exciting. Obviously, we'll talk about the Minnesota Vikings and what it means once they have a quarterback under center, because Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson, they got to have someone get him the ball. But let's move ahead. You talked about Jonnu Smith, who transferred over with Arthur Smith to the Steelers. Now he's got Russell Wilson there. Mike, I want to ask you, Russell Wilson.
You say Jonnu Smith?
Jonnu Smith.
No, Miami.
Oh,
he went
I'm
to my,
sorry.
I was thinking,
you just assumed he was going there with Arthur Smith.
Because he followed him from Tennessee to Atlanta. I get it.
It was the follow along.
I get that because everyone was just, that was the joke, right?
That was the Johnny joke,
was going,
right?
going
He's
going to
do it and tank Pat Freiermuth.
But I can't wait till we talk about what the Pittsburgh offense is going to look like. But
well,
meanwhile,
I broke
let's
my
go.
Pen. Let's do that. I mean,
I have one for you, Mike. Don't be
No, it's okay. I just broke the little clip off. I'm good. I'm just so excited.
So excited about this. Are you excited about Russell Wilson coming over to the Steelers? Because
a little bit.
It feels like he might be able to impact the offensive skill position guys, but is he going to have enough fantasy value to become relevant in 2024?
I don't think he'll be a fantasy starter. I do think they're going to lean toward the run, which was a tendency not only of Arthur Smith, which we knew, but also the Steelers the last couple of years. They've kind of turned to a run-heavy offense, and I think they'll stick with that. Is it going to be as run-heavy as Atlanta? I don't think so, and the reason is because we've seen Arthur Smith run an offense and you know that was balanced before, and that was the Matt Ryan year in Atlanta when he had that standout quarterback. It wasn't Ryan Tannehill. He was really run heavy. He actually got two borderline QB1 seasons out of Tannehill, but then Matt Ryan obviously struggled, but they did lean toward a balanced offense. And then the last couple of years with poor quarterback play, they ran the ball a lot. So that all being said, I think it's a lean toward the run. It's going to limit Wilson's output as a fantasy option. He hasn't been a top 12 quarterback the last two years anyway.
Correct.
So we're not expecting him to be at that level. But it helps the skill guys at least a little bit.
I was gonna
having
say,
a better quarterback.
You know what? I feel like this is going to be one of those boomer bust offenses, but maybe not. Yeah. Like last year, there was the. Remember, we were trying to figure out how they won the games that they won at some point during the season. But I think what's going to happen is we're going to see days where you have this explosion. Russell Wilson can still get the ball deep. He does throw that ball really well. You've got some receivers who can make spectacular acrobatic plays deep. I think you could have a couple games where you have some star performances from those guys, but it's not going to be consistent.
That sounds like last year, though.
It kind of does.
That's my concern. And also, they have a really good defense, which is problematic for fantasy because they're competitive. That's how they win nine games every year, and they're hanging in there. They're not getting blown out and throwing the ball a ton, which leads to good fantasy performances. So that concerns me.
Have you made the switch yet to say that if I'm taking a Steelers wide receiver, it would be George Pickens over Deontay Johnson?
Yeah, it's George Pickens. I think he just has more raw talent. He was probably better than you realize overall last season. Also, I think Deontay Johnson, good chance he's dealt. You know, that's still on the table.
Last year, his contract, I believe.
Regardless, though, he's been on the block 28 years old now. Yeah. There's been chatter about that. I would not be surprised if he gets traded in the coming days. Maybe today. Who knows? Stuff's happening as we're on the air here.
Solid pass catching tight end.
Yes, they do.
Here's my question. Do you think it's a done deal that Russell Wilson is the starter?
Yes. Yes. I don't think, I know he's cheap, so it was like a low risk move for them.
It's not costing
which is great.
Them really
anything. Look, I think just the perception of what went down in Denver and they cut him loose and they're paying a lot for him to play elsewhere makes it seem like he was horrific last year. He was not horrific. He was probably an average starting quarterback last year. So that's a big upgrade from what Pittsburgh has had the last couple of years. So, you don't bring Russell Wilson in if a guy you selected in the first round 2 years ago is the guy. So it looks like Pickett's going down like the Zach Wilson path.
They just really don't like him.
That's tough. That is really tough.
They don't like him if they sign Russell, but they
can't depend on. And he was hurt at the end of last
year.
Yeah,
that wasn't great.
This does feel like the Jets last year where they bring in Rodgers and they're like, Wilson will be fine as the two. Then he gets hurt and then they throw Wilson back in there and it's like, why did we do that? Could be the same thing in Pittsburgh here. Because now I can't imagine Mason Rudolph goes back there now because you're basically the three. Best case, you're the two. So I would expect it to be Wilson and Pickett. Rudolph goes elsewhere.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah, I thought I had an inclination of where Rudolph might go. Where's he from? There's something about where he's...
Oh, I don't know. Field usually sits here. He would know where he was born, where he moved to when he was eight, and then where he went to high school, college. Yeah,
that's right.
I think he might be from Florida.
Okay, I'm totally drawing a blank where he went to school. But anyway.
Anyway.
We'll look it up.
Field, Texas.
I got one more. We got a little bit of breaking news, but one more quarterback I want to talk about. Baker Mayfield re-signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yeah. Mike Clay.
With his best pass catcher.
3-year deal, $115 million. Obviously, Mike Evans is coming back. Chris Godwin is coming back. Yeah, I know we're saving it. I'm saving it for you, baby. And then we've got Rashad White as well. So understanding Baker Mayfield comes back. Do you think this Bucs offense is going to look any different, or is it just basically we're going to repeat what we did?
You said it. They're bringing back its status quo from last year. The big difference might be if Russell Gage sticks around and he might get cut loose. Otherwise, it's Evans, Godwin, Otten, White, and Mayfield. So should be same as what we got last year. Mayfield, he finished QB 10 in points, but it was like survivor bias. He played in all 17 games, which is rare last year. It was more of like a
survivor bias. Yeah, was, I like the it way like,
that's, it was more of a mid to back end QB, QB two. So, Evans will be fine. Godwin startable and Rashad White, obviously an RB one, but pretty, it's easy for like, we love that from a projection standpoint, a ranking standpoint. It's like the status quo from last year.
Yeah. You just get to,
I have a question for you guys. And I don't know where Evans was ultimately ranked right before most people were doing their drafts, but I know where he was drafted, which was much lower than people expected. And a lot of it was because nobody really knew what to expect out of Tampa Bay. Late there wasn't 20s, a lot of confidence in what was going to happen with Baker Mayfield. You know, obviously going from Tom Brady, what was it going to be like? I'm very curious what you think happens this year and how it changes how Mike Evans is drafted in fantasy, given that everybody saw this unit together last year and was like, oh, hey, this is pretty good.
This
like,
still works.
Yeah, they made the playoffs.
Yeah, how do you do that? Another year. So Mike Evans is a year older, but we did see that it worked with Baker Mayfield and now you're bringing it back. Mm-hmm. Is Mike Evans a top 20 guy or has he reached that age where it's like, boy, I don't know. I kind of like some of the youth over him.
I'm at 18 and I think he belongs right in that range. I talked about this, I think, last week. He hasn't been in the top 15 in targets and catches like three straight seasons. He's been very reliant on big plays downfield and touchdowns. Of course. Yeah. So, you know, it's always risky leaning into touchdowns and not volume in PPR. But we saw last year that he can still deliver. And obviously the Bucs still think he can deliver. He's still going to be their number one. So I think it'll be a little bit boom bust, but I think he'll finish top 20. I have him 18 right now.
Okay. He also plays. Like, he doesn't miss time.
Nope.
Which is, you know, when you're filling out your roster, there's something valuable.
Absolutely. In that. All right, let's talk about a couple of the quarterbacks here that you have ranked. Mike, way too early. You got your top 20 quarterbacks ranked right now. If you're watching here on YouTube, you'll be able to see on the screen, the full screen that we've got brought up. If not, you're listening on the audio product. I'm going to list it off real quickly. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. That's not crazy.
By the way, getting some great social media engagement on these rankings over the last few days.
Everybody agrees with you?
Great in terms of volume, not kindness. And here's the reason. Field always talks about this. These are fantasy rankings.
Correct.
Okay, these are not my rankings of who I think is the best quarterback in the NFL. But nobody's noticing that. So I'm getting all kinds of fun messages about how much of a fool I am for putting, you know, Hurts over Mahomes, for example. Well, so, yes, Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. Josh Allen is the best fantasy quarterback in the NFL.
Quarterback 6 through 10, you got Dak Prescott, Anthony Richardson, Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud, and Justin Fields. Really quickly, Stefania, I want to ask about quarterback 5, and that's Joe Burrow. Obviously dealt with some injuries last year. Are we past that? Are we in a good spot? We're going into 2024?
We're not past it.
Okay.
His season ended with a wrist ligament injury that required a surgical repair. We have not seen him throw. He's not thrown footballs yet. I would direct you to our colleague Ben Baby did a report on Burrow. Saw him at an event where he was doing a promotion and talked to him a little bit. He said that he expects to be cleared around mid-May, that those decisions are going to happen in the next month to month and a half. He was very positive about where he's at. I do think he's throwing, you know, when you're coming back from this type of injury, you often are throwing a different object before you throw a football because of the nature of the grip. So I think he's throwing a smaller.
Really? So you start with like a tennis ball or like a smaller ball or
smaller
something like that?
Yeah, a weighted ball. Interesting. And you do some plyometric things. But the idea is, you know, you change your grip, you change the weight as you're progressing in the healing process. The thing is that we don't have comps. We talked about this on the injury show.
Yep.
A scapholunate ligament repair is pretty extensive and you're trying to restore stability in the wrist, but you can sacrifice a little bit of mobility. How does that translate for a quarterback? We don't really know. It's not an injury that we see very often. So I will be, look, if anybody can rehab his way, you know, out of concern. We've seen Joe Burrow do that already. He did it with a multi-ligament knee injury when a lot of people thought he would struggle, and he was actually really quite good coming out of that. But last year, the calf injury to start the season, which, you know, that should be fully resolved. He's had, you know, the downtime and the conditioning and all that. And I don't doubt that he's working at this very well. But that wrist motion that he needs to throw the ball the way he does, the way we've come to appreciate, we're not going to see that potentially until...
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, let's see. He hopes to be throwing and cleared for everything by May. Doesn't mean he'll be doing much in OTA, so it might not be training camp before we really see it.
When Mike Clay hears that, as the guy that does these early rankings and projections, how much are you looking then at Joe Burrow and the way that he's progressing through this offseason? Is there some fluidity potentially in that top five ranking?
A little bit. If you want to go higher ceiling with like an Anthony Richardson at five, we had this conversation last week, fine with that. But Burrow, I think we saw it his last few games, like his last five games before the injury. He was back, throwing 2+ touchdowns in every game, was averaging around 300 yards a game. He was back to being a top-end fantasy quarterback. So as long as all reports are strong, that's where I was going next.
Yeah.
Assuming that he is healthy, we get positive reports throughout the offseason, he comes back, he's ready to go 100% at week one next year, can add a little value with his legs, we feel good about him as a top five guy.
Okay, I want to get into the next two quarterbacks I got questions on, but I can't hold off on this breaking news any longer, Mike Clay.
Antonio Gibson to the Patriots.
That's not what it is. No.
Not that?
It is Saquon Barkley going to Mike Clay's Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, how about that? No wonder you started smiling.
Wow, it's the first time I saw Mike smile.
He hasn't smiled. He's so grumpy all day.
How about
finally,
this? I don't know how I feel about this.
Oh,
this is interesting.
Talk to me about it. You got rid of DeAndre Swift. We'll get into that.
Also, you're stealing him from the Giants.
Yeah, I know. But we've talked about this.
Oh,
now,
my goodness.
Now, we did. This is interesting. So,
I agree.
The Eagles do not usually invest in the running back position. But we talked about this, I think it was except 2 weeks ago. No, I mean, it was a late round pick for Swift. And Sanders was a second
Rashad
round
Penny
pick, was there for 4 years. So this kind of thing for the Eagles is rare. But we did talk about this a couple weeks ago when we talked free agents, which was, the salary cap went up a lot.
Yep.
No, it's not a good draft for running backs. And there's a lot of good free agents out there. So don't be surprised if you see some short-term, like 2-3 year deals for these high-impact running backs. And that's what we've seen right out of the gate. Again, we'll get into DeAndre Swift shortly. Who's the other one?
Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard, Jacobs, and now Barkley to the Eagles. So kind of, if the Eagles were ever going to pounce on a guy
what
like
was,
this,
the, what was the
this
terms,
would be the time. 3 for 37, which is not bad. And what's interesting about this one, and another reason I thought Barkley would be a fit, this was bothering me all last year, going all the way to the trade deadline, which was skill position depth, pass catching depth for the Eagles. If one guy got hurt, which A.J. Brown did and Dallas Goedert did, you were like, Quez Watkins and Zaccheaus and Jack Stoll, like, what are we doing here? Barkley can catch the ball. He can catch 80 footballs for sure.
Yes.
So that's huge for Philly. So now you're going to have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. You're going to have Barkley as an option in the passing game. And, of course, Dallas Goedert back as well. And there's
no more Jason Kelce. They need someone to do something else at the goal line.
That's true.
They can't do the tush.
That's true.
Push.
Is he going to play center on those plays?
But Saquon Barkley as a power runner near the goal line is something that they haven't.
But that's a good
really
point,
had.
Though. Figure that's going to cost them some touchdowns.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts. Well,
the tush push will cost him some touchdowns.
But you got to also figure that in that situation, right? Like it seems like that could maybe save a little wear and tear on Jalen Hurts' body. Do you also have a running back like
Saquon Barkley that you could use at the goal line. I don't know if they're going to. Didn't feel like they used a lot of running backs. You think they're going to stick with what they're
doing? Unless Kelce really was the linchpin and him being out, it kills it. Unless that's the case, then no.
Let me ask you this question then. You had Saquon Barkley heading into this. Again, so many things have changed within like the last 45 minutes. But you had Saquon Barkley at running back 8 on the Giants. Mm-hmm. Now he goes to the Eagles. Does he move up this list or does he move down this list? Or does he stay where he's at?
Yeah, probably about where he's going to stay. The touchdowns, it is a good Eagles offense, but the touchdowns, I don't know if they're going to be there. You know, is he going to score 12 touchdowns? I don't necessarily think so. So maybe not jumping ETN, certainly in that area, he could possibly be ahead of him. But then if you start moving him down, then you're talking James Cook and Isaiah Pacheco. I don't think I'm moving him behind those guys. So yeah. Also Josh Jacobs isn't far off this list. He's going to fall down. We'll get to him shortly. He's going to plummet down the rankings. Yeah. So Barkley should be pretty secure, I would say, as a mid-range RB1.
So two things. One is it's really funny to look at the new logo while they're wearing their old jersey. Yeah,
I know. It's true.
It's just reflective of how much, I mean, now there's all this homework that's going to have to happen for me to get this right in my head. But Saquon Barkley was like the offensive weapon for New York.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming into obviously such a different scenario that I understand why it's hard to feel as excited for fantasy purposes because he was it. He was the target. So I don't like.
But that was an unsustainable workload long term because of how few pieces they had.
1,000% correct. But if you look at what his production was last year, minus the weeks that he was out because he was injured. And so, you know, this helps him. They doesn't have to be the focal point of the offense. But
I'm with you.
What do we think? Do we think he looks like DeAndre Swift when DeAndre Swift was DeAndre Swifting for the Eagles?
He's better than that.
But I meant in terms of volume. Like there were a couple games where that was the play and that, you know, DeAndre Swift then disappeared.
Yeah, are we still going to get Boston Scott games with Saquon Barkley? Yeah.
No, we didn't get them last year.
That's gone.
But to your point, DeAndre Swift last year, 5th in rushing yards, 268 touches last year. You'd expect Barkley to beat those numbers.
Yeah.
I would say. So,
yikes.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't know if his value changes a lot, but he's certainly going to be really busy in this offense. And his efficiency has been good for a couple of years, but now you're going to work behind, even without Kelce, a really, really good Eagles offensive line. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they had some youngsters waiting in the wings at center with Jurgen. So I think they'll be fine up front. Also, by the way, Penn State product. So coming home a little bit. For
all right. That was our big breaking news, obviously, because it's Saquon signing.
There's
with the
more
Eagles.
Of it, though. Keep going.
We're going to keep
going. A lot of running back news today.
We got some more. I need to finish out this quarterback conversation, though, Mike. We got to go back to where we were at. Yes. Okay. So looking at your top 10, and we pull that back up, you've got CJ Stroud as quarterback 9. Mm-hmm. Quarterback 9 after what I felt like was a
fantasy
really stellar
rankings,
rookie season. I want to ask, why not higher? Why could you not find a way to get CJ Stroud higher in that list?
Okay, so you said QB 9. How many times did he finish higher than 9th last season? Better than 9th last season? How many weeks?
6. Three times.
He had two really big games. He had that 40-point game, a 30-point game. He had one other decent game. Other than that, it was all fringe QB 1 or QB2 for CJ Stroud. Not a guy that's going to do a ton with his legs. 167 rushing yards last season. And it just matters now. So many quarterbacks can run, and we didn't even get into the rookies yet. You know, Caleb Williams has some ability with his legs. Drake May can run a little bit, and obviously Jaden Daniels can run a ton. So there could be more guys injected into that fringe QB1 conversation. So that's why, even though he looks like a future or current star quarterback, Anthony Richardson might be the better fantasy quarterback. We have him ranked ahead. So it really comes down to that. Now, if you want to bump him over Herbert, I'm fine with that. I don't think there's anyone else that you're
moving
drafting
him
over from a fantasy perspective. I just don't see how you do that. You know, Prescott obviously lit it up through the air last year. I wouldn't move him ahead of him either.
The idea that Prescott is quarterback 6 after what he did last year, and you're like, boy, how do we get CJ Stroud earlier? Part of it is he had such a good season, and he was fun to watch, a great story to root for, but when you kind of break it all down, Mike, it sort of makes sense. But from not being high enough to being too high, why do you have Justin Fields as quarterback 10? Is this the thought that if he comes back to the Bears, this is where he will be, or is this Justin Fields' baseline, regardless of what team he's on because of his legs?
The needle will move a little bit depending on where he goes, but it's rushing ability.
Okay.
He has finished, where is it at here? Top 5 at quarterback in rushing yards all 3 seasons in the NFL so far.
That's good.
He was QB5 in 2022. He was 12th last year, and I have him 10th right now. So it's kind of a just a hold. We're just going to hold him there as a fringe QB one. We'll see where he lands, and then we'll adjust from there. But at the end of the day, he may not throw it well, but he's going to run the ball a lot, and it's going to produce a lot of fantasy points.
Tell you what, ahead of guys like Jordan Love, who looked great, Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy for Stefania, we'll see the way that the quarterback position plays out. Still a lot of free agency left, too. We got to figure out now who's going to be the quarterback in Denver, who's going to be the quarterback in Minnesota. We got a bunch of guys that we got to figure out. But let's talk running backs. Obviously, we just talked about Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles. And it wasn't just that. We've had a bunch of other running backs signed today.
Yeah, Josh
Jacobs. Let's start there. Josh Jacobs going to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, you heard that correctly. Yeah,
okay, so Aaron Jones.
Does that seem like a weird signing
yes.
to you?
It absolutely does, because I believe Aaron Jones restructured, so he'll be back at age 29 now.
Yep.
So this is a, you know, they're not afraid to run the ball, but, you know, they've gone with A.J. Dillon, who's been busy the past few years, partially because Aaron Jones has missed time.
Unproductive, but busy.
But, I mean, there's not enough to go around in this offense for these guys from a fantasy perspective. This is good for the Packers offense, fine. Jacobs is a good player.
Yeah.
Crushes his value. His usage is going to go way down. He's not going to get 80% of the carries and 12 to 15% of the targets. So he's going to fall probably down to, best case scenario, maybe a mid-range RB2. But if that's the case, if he's RB17,
then what's Aaron
Jones?
Aaron
Jones is what, 42? You know, there's just not enough. There's not enough for both of these guys. And it's not like you're going to force feed them targets to keep them happy in fantasy, because you have four receivers we like.
We
have two tight ends we like. There's just not enough balls to go around in what is also a very low volume offense. They move super slow in this Matt LaFleur offense. So very concerned about the fantasy prospects here.
So a legitimate chance that Josh Jacobs is just inside, just a top 20 running back, and Aaron Jones is legitimately outside the top 30 with this move, because there's just not enough touches to go around.
Yeah, I don't know how you could...
How you find ways to manufacture more touches.
I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to take all the volume, the projected touches, and distribute them. I don't know how you do that and keep these guys happy. At least what they've been in fantasy.
That meme with like all the math things, and you're like, wait a minute. How
does this happen? That's the Packers offense.
Yes,
that is the Packers offense this year. So that happens sometimes, and that's the case here. It is really tough.
Here's my follow-up to that.
Wow. So he was running back 12 before this news, obviously dropping a little bit because of the fact he's going to be sharing a backfield with Aaron Jones.
Who's carrying the ball for the Raiders?
Zamir White for now. They re-signed Amir Abdullah, who's the pass-catching back, but they're not done. Yeah, they'll draft somebody. There's a bunch of like mid-round running backs that are interesting this year. So the teams will kind of chip away that way.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if the Raiders used to care a lot about speed. But it's also interesting because Antonio Pierce pounded the table so much for Josh Jacobs that I was a little bit surprised that this was the way they went.
Well, for what it's worth, it's not Josh Jacobs' job to fix this offense. So I think that was once he made those comments too. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I missed that. Okay.
Okay. Speaking of, let's talk about the Titans. They got Tajay Spears. You just mentioned Zamir White, right? Excited to see what he could potentially
do. Derrick Henry gone.
Derrick Henry's going to be gone. I was excited to maybe see Tajay Spears, but then Tony Pollard signs a 3-year, $24.5 million deal to become a part of the Titans. Mike, how do you see Pollard fitting in with this Tennessee team?
Well, I think they gave him $24 million over 3 years. So it's easy to say, well, he struggled in Dallas last year, so I don't care about him. It's still Spears season, you know? Sure. They gave him 3 years, $24 million. He's going to have a role in this offense.
A year.
My expectation here is that this is going to look similar to what the Titans did last year. Now, it's a new coaching staff.
Yep.
So Callahan's coming from the Bengals, where Joe Mixon was the lead back. But we saw them utilize Chase Brown last year too, use multiple backs. I think this is going to be basically a 50-50 split, maybe 55-45. But remember, Spears, third round pick last year, he was a day two pick. He was out snapping Derrick Henry most weeks. And that wasn't like late in the game and they were behind. That was early on in games. He was getting a lot of workload. So I think Pollard gets the edge in carries and at the goal line. Spears gets an edge in passing situations, but I think they split this workload. And much like we just talked about with Green Bay, tough for their fantasy upside. It's going to be tough to rank either guy high because they're both going
to
play a lot.
But as much as anything, to me, stylistically, it's going to look different, right? I mean, Derrick Henry is a one of one, and so we're not going to be running the ball that way. But I always thought that Tony Pollard fared better when he was sharing the workload.
Oh, yeah.
And granted, he was coming off the ankle injury. There were a few things, but we saw when the load was placed on him that was different. That was tough for him. Don't forget, Tajay Spears came into the league with enough concerns about his knee injury history that some teams had him off their boards completely. You know, he's had a couple ACL injuries, and the Titans, these things don't happen in a vacuum. You have to be aware of that. You have to look at the workload that was asked of him last year, and you're wondering, is that sustainable for someone like him? Young in years, but definitely with an injury history there. If he and Tony Pollard split it, it actually promotes their longevity for both of them better. It's not good for fantasy purposes, perhaps, but for the Titans, this may actually boost their run game if they really create an even split.
Really interested to see the way that these two running backs work out, because I was excited about Tajay Spears as well, just to see what he could potentially look like. But
yeah, another thing to consider here too, Titans O-line, very much a work in progress. We ranked them preseason. I had them dead last, and they played like the dead last offensive line, in the league last year. And if Will Levis is their quarterback, how good is he? Is this offense going to be good, medium, or average, poor? We don't know.
Great question.
But probably right now as it stands, a below average offense with a poor offensive line. A lot of reasons to not feel great about the running back situation, at least right now.
Close out Pollard here. He was drafted as a top 10 running back last year.
Mm-hmm.
You had him as running back 25, knowing that he was going to be a free agent. Now that he signed with the Titans, splitting here, is that going to change? Does he go up, go down, right about?
Yeah, I had him 25. I had Spears 27. So I had them very close. And again, I was hedging because I figured Tennessee would sign someone.
May as well just leave it where it's at.
Yeah, so it's pretty close. I think they're going to end up in that vicinity. Pollard a little bit ahead. Sure. He'll get goal line and most of the more of the carries, I would imagine. So, but similar to where I have him now, yes.
Okay, one more running back to talk about, DeAndre Swift. Headed to the Chicago Bears in another, like, what are we doing here? From a fantasy perspective, I don't understand this, guys. We got Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. And now we also are going to add DeAndre Swift, who had his best rushing season ever. But, like, that's not the DeAndre Swift we had seen in the NFL up until this point. So, one, who is DeAndre Swift in 2024? Mm-hmm. And how do you rank him with the other two running backs in this Bears backfield?
Yeah, first of all, we do expect a quarterback change. It's going to look different than Justin Fields scrambling and running a lot. That's going to open up more volume for the skill position players in this offense, including DeAndre Swift. So, that's somewhat good news. I assume it'll be Caleb Williams at quarterback.
We're assuming,
maybe he'll dump it off to the running back more than Justin Fields did. But you're right. The thing about Swift is, for so long, he was like a change of pace back and a pass-catching back. Last year, the Eagles treated him like the opposite. He was their fifth in rushing yards in the NFL, got a lot of the carries, wasn't used much in the passing game. But now you have Roschon Johnson, who can help with pass blocking, can kind of do it all.
That was a part of the Swift's thing, was his pass blocking was not great, correct?
Yeah.
That's why they pulled him off the field.
And Herbert, probably maybe the best pure runner of the three as well. And he could catch the ball a little bit. So it is a very tough one to project. I think that they will use all three backs. I think that Swift will be the one because you see it on the screen. If you're watching, three years, $24 million. Yeah. They didn't pay him to be a backup. So I think he'll be the 1A, but Roschon might be the 1B and Herbert might get eight carries as well.
I can't help it, but every time a team goes through all their running backs because of injury, that team the next year make sure they have depth at running back. Yep. I've seen it. The 49ers did it. Mm-hmm. That's carried over into Miami. With
Patriots did it today.
And now you've got, I mean, do you remember last year when they were down? They basically had a game where they lost all their running backs to the point where they had no running back. And so for a while it was hard to know who they were going to start because of injury. I definitely think that scars a team. And so they start looking at making sure they have depth and they don't really care about your fantasy team.
No, they don't.
By the way, are we done on him?
That was sure once Arthur Smith took over. It's like, they don't care about your fantasy team, guys.
That's right. The graphic that was just up there, I mean, just if we're going to close out running back.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ramondre Stevenson and Brian Robinson Jr. on there. Antonio Gibson signed with the Patriots. They basically, the Zeke Elliott replacement. I like that for Stevenson, you know, because Gibson, I think, has settled in as a good but not great running back. So Stevenson should be back and we'll probably end up ranked in that vicinity. But Robinson Jr. set up right now for a big breakout season next year. He did it at times this past year. And also we started to see more involvement in the passing game. So I like what's going on for him. We'll see. They'll add someone else. But very interesting as we talk about all these committees, Robinson might be a clear lead back next year.
You had, and speaking of the committee, Mike, you had DeAndre Swift at running back 20 before coming to this Bears. I mean, the Eagles were already a little bit of a committee as well. Is he going to be running back 20 or is he going to drop a little bit?
Well, part of why he was 20 was because he's a free agent. I wasn't assuming a reunion with Philadelphia there. So probably a little lower. I would think a little bit lower. Now, we keep saying that about everybody is that all these committees build up, but there's still going to be probably you know, 15 to 18 guys who you feel like are lead backs, your Saquon Barkley's,
yep,
for example. So we'll get into that. At some point, we'll do a post-free agency rankings discussion. Yep. Still shuffling all this out. And there's more running backs still to be signed.
Austin, you know, Eckler and Derrick Henry.
The weirdest part about all this? It's like I'm really excited for football again.
Me too.
Like,
once it starts, we got, like, let's see here.
This is doing March, this part where you're like, oh, you can start to see the chips fall.
6 months.
You wonder at the end, yeah, of the season, like, that's, who's going to go where? And now we're seeing all this like a chessboard, right? Mm-hmm. You're seeing them all move around. Then you wonder, well, who's going to add what with the draft? Mm-hmm. We've got so much coaching movement.
Oh, yeah.
And new hires, both at coordinator and head coaching roles that you don't really know how. So I can't, it's like you want to go home and put up one of those boards like they have on what's the detective show?
Like True Detective, or where they got, yeah, the strings with everywhere.
Strings,
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you, that's, can follow, so good, the course of it and try and predict. But
like Charlie,
it does make it fun to, yeah, try and think about what fantasy is going to look like next year.
For, absolutely, this, you know. I imagine that you've got an Always Sunny like board at home, like Charlie, where you just got like things everywhere.
That's the computer. Yeah, that's the computer.
All right, well, we're just getting started with the fun, Stefania. We got wide receivers to talk about. T. Higgins was franchised by the Bengals, has also requested a trade from the team, looking for a long-term deal, not really happy with how the conversation has been going. Mike, if T. leaves to go to another team, is that going to potentially change his value because he's now not going to have Joe Burrow catching passes? I mean, what if he becomes the number one rather than being, right, the number two?
Yeah, that's what's interesting is you kind of have to wait it out.
You know, we
know he's super talented. There's a reason he got the franchise tag. There's a reason he may attract interest on the open market and land maybe a second round pick or something like that from another team looking for a one. But if he goes somewhere like, let's just say Atlanta, he's going from Chase being the one to having Drake London right there. London's not Chase necessarily, but he's very, right, good. He's going to demand a lot of targets. So, and in that case, Higgins' target share probably won't change very much. So we just kind of have to see where this one plays out before we rank him. But at the end of the day, will he be a fantasy starter regardless?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. T. Higgins is just too good. What about Gabe Davis? I've been the Gabe Davis truther on this one. He's left Buffalo. Now he's in Jacksonville with the other Josh Allen, as well as Trevor Lawrence. So for what it's worth, still playing with Josh Allen. Yeah, we'll see how that one works. It. But does Gabe Davis, I don't even want to ask this question. Gabe Davis's value cannot go up by moving from Josh Allen to Trevor Lawrence, period, end of story. Is that a true statement?
I think that it's possible it goes up, but I don't think it will.
Okay.
And there's an interesting hypothetical question here. Who's better, Gabe Davis or Zay Jones? As the two. That would be the two. Christian Kirk's the one, not to mention Evan Ingram, not to mention Travis Etienne. Zay Jones was a second round pick, and when he's been healthy, he's handled 20% of the targets. They love him. Gabe Davis has never had a 20% target share.
I'll tell you what, because of the fact that Gabe Davis just signed a 3-year deal, I think they think that Gabe Davis might
Zay Jones signed a, 3-year, $30 million deal a couple of years ago? It wasn't far off what he just signed.
Is that what, I didn't see numbers for Gabe, so it's similar?
Yeah, I think so. I think probably the terms were different. But also, here's another thing. I'm not positive. I would expect Calvin Ridley now to go elsewhere.
Yes.
I'm not positive on that because they could still sign Ridley and cut Zay Jones for cap reasons, just based the way his deal's set up, and then have Ridley and Kirk as their 1-2, and then have Gabe Davis as your field stretcher. So that's a possibility. We'll keep an eye on that. My expectation, though, is they try to keep Zay Jones along with Kirk and Gabe Davis. But again, projecting Davis versus Zay Jones is hard to do. I don't know who will
that's
see more
question.
Targets if they stick around. So I don't think he's going to have a breakout in Jacksonville.
3 years, $39 million, so an average of $13 million per season. That's also not breaking the bank for a wide receiver. But it feels like it's going to be difficult for me to get more excited about Gabe Davis in Jacksonville unless I start hearing things or seeing stuff in offseason and practice, because he's coming from one of, if not the best quarterback in football in Josh Allen. So that part is just tough for me.
Yeah. By the way, that shows you the difference between the receiver market and the running back market.
Oh,
because would you say 3 for 39?
39, yeah.
I don't know what guarantees are, but Barkley's a 3 for 34. We were talking about one of the best running backs in the NFL gets less than a field stretcher.
Yeah.
Or number 3 receiver.
A guy that's going to get 75, 80 targets on the season. So, all right. A little more breaking news. We're all over the place today. I just appreciate you guys sticking with us, knowing that we are everywhere. Mm-hmm. We already had this conversation, but the Green Bay Packers, with the signing of Josh Jacobs, are going to release Aaron Jones.
All right, that was odd because we thought,
that makes a lot more sense.
He had been restructured, so we're like, okay, is he staying? But that may, okay, so f- Forget everything I said about Josh Jacobs before. Okay. Actually, Aaron Jones, too. This could be good for both of them. Yep. Now, Jones is 29.
Let's do a full reset.
I don't think he's going to be a full-on lead back, but for Jacobs' purposes, great now. Great situation. He should be the there's no competition at this moment.
Yep.
I'm assuming they'll have to change the pace back, but now he has a chance to get back to handling 20, 25 touches and be an RB1.
Okay.
This is really interesting to me because when Aaron Jones was hurt last year, they talked about missing him as a leader, mm-hmm. talked about what an important presence he was in the locker room. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of the things about Aaron Jones being important to the team were talked about last year. And now this, do you think it's solely because he had struggles staying on the field last year?
At 29, I think they're just like, okay, let's look to the future and give ourselves a feature back here. Who's our feature back for the next few years? They want to run the ball. I think it's probably that simple. I mean, they probably feel that the contract, it makes sense to move on from, and he's lost a step at age 29.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. Once you're pushing 30, running back,
well,
not everyone's Raheem Mostert, you know?
That's true.
That's true.
Which is the irony in that is that Raheem Mostert couldn't land a secure job for like the first 7 years he was in the league.
Because he kept getting hurt, unfortunately.
But so a guy who was hurt and a guy who was older got a better deal than all the guys who've stayed on the field who are younger, you know?
It's crazy.
And it's just how his career has played out, but...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Josh Jacobs as a lead back now in Green Bay. You had talked about potentially like running back 18, running back 20. Does that move him up? You know, running back 15, back 12.
I like it. That Packers offense is good to running backs. EJ Dillon.
Having a totally different conversation.
I know it's totally flipped.
Jacobs, that's what
we're talking about. It's this volume. You have this ball of carries and targets to distribute to players, and if you're splitting it up between two,
I feel like it limits you, but if it goes to one,
grade math, you know,
that's what it is.
If Johnny has,
yeah, this, that's all it is. That's exactly right. Now, Joshy is getting all
that's
of the,
right.
getting all, Joshy, the, all the touches.
And Aaron went to another school down the street.
That's right.
He sure did. And he'll land somewhere. We'll see where Jones goes. Probably as a committee, more of a committee back. I have to think about where that might be. But maybe Washington with Brian Robinson. We talked about him. But I would say we talked about that Cook Pacheco tier right after Barkley, right around back end RB1. I think that's probably where we're looking at Jacobs, right in that tier.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go back to wide receivers, Mike. Thank you again for being all over the place. We got a lot of news that's coming in real quick, hot and heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like it too. We're reacting.
We should have like live FF now today for 3 hours.
That's really what it should have been. Yeah.
Mike, in looking at your top 20 wide receivers for the 2024 season, way too early, top 20 wide receivers. One thing stands out to me. Your top five is fine. CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase.
Yeah, probably moving Jefferson down a little bit now.
Oh, yeah.
Probably Hill. I would say Lamb, then Hill.
Outside the top five or still a top
five guy? No, I think he'll be top five pretty securely. But if you said I'm going St. Brown over Jefferson right now, if you're drafting today, I'd say no problem with that because we don't know who the Vikings quarterback is going to be. It might be J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or a rookie. You know, we just don't know right now.
That's very fair. All right, let's look at the wide receivers 6 through 10 here, and there's one thing that stands out to me. A.J. Brown, Puka Nacua, Stephon Diggs, Garrett Wilson, and Davante Adams. Holy cow, Mike, Puka Nacua is wide receiver 7. Goes from an unknown rookie to a top 7 wide receiver ahead of freaking Stephon Diggs and your man, baby, Garrett Wilson, who you fell in love with last year.
I'm still in love.
Like, talk to me about Puka. It's just the idea that it obviously wasn't just a one-year thing without Cooper Kupp. The talent is real. And even with Cooper Kupp still being there, a top 10 talent for Puka, you think?
Well, is he too high or too low? Because he was wide receiver 6 last year.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Am I disrespecting him or am I too high?
I would think that Cooper Kupp would hopefully come back. We would love to see him be healthy, have a little bit longer of a run. And because of that, I thought maybe Puka would have a slightly... lessened value this year, but still, I mean, he's going to be a top 15 guy in my mind regardless, but wide receiver 7's high.
Yeah. So he had 9 top 12 weeks last year, which is a big number.
That's
last year. 6 of them were with Cooper Kupp in the mix last year. So he out-targeted
Kupp. There's your answer.
He had more fantasy points in him. He had more catches, a lot more yards, actually had one less touchdown. And that's kind of the thing with Nacua. He was top 10 in pretty much every category at receiver, except for touchdowns. He actually left some of them on the table. Only 6 touchdowns, had 11 end zone targets. So a lot of good, a lot of production, volume, effectiveness. All those things were good. Matthew Stafford back, a quarterback, and room for maybe 3 more touchdowns, 4 more touchdowns, and that could get him to the next level.
All right, I got another question at wide receiver. Devontae Smith. He was like a top 12 guy coming off the board last year. You've got him at wide receiver 28. Is this is this indicative of you think that Devontae Smith maybe has lost a step or something's going on, or just in this offense, he's not going to see the target share?
Yeah, so he's been fine. I mean, his target share went down last season. Also, he hasn't really been a touchdown guy. He's yet to clear 7 touchdowns or 9 end zone targets in a single season. They bring in Kellen Moore now to run this offense. But as we just talked about, and this is something else I'm going to have to look at, when I put Saquon Barkley on this roster, is they're going to have to get the ball in his hands in the passing game, which could take away targets from someone like Devontae Smith. So I think I'll be fine. Again, if I'm 28, that's wide receiver. That's a wide receiver 3. He's startable, but I don't know if he's a guy we're looking at as like a top 15, maybe even not a top 20 guy right now. Receiver is so deep.
It is.
It's so deep right now.
All right. I'm not going to bring this up because we don't have time, but Christian Watson over Jaden Reed. Are you kidding me?
Look, we could do a whole episode on that.
All right. We'll revisit that on a later date.
We will.
Yes, we definitely will. All right, Mike, your tight end
ranking. By the way, just one little note on Christian Watson.
Yeah.
He actually said that in January that he was going to seek out some assistance to try and problem solve why he's been having so many hamstring
injuries. There you go. Love it. Problem solved right there.
I just wanted to throw that out into the mix. At least he's taking it. Like he said, he doesn't think it's his fault. And there are many reasons why you can have frequent hamstring. It's a reason why it's a problem in the entire NFL. But obviously his career off to a slower start because of that, despite the talent. But the fact that he's actively trying to problem solve this in the offseason. I love that.
Missed 8 games last year, finished 8th at receiver and end zone targets.
Right. Imagine if
and
he
now
didn't
targeted
miss the,
Jaden Reed in those
if he
games.
Didn't miss the 8.
Yeah. That's my point. That's why I like him. I'm still buying it.
If it wasn't for the Alshon Jeffrey vibes, like that's where I'm at with that soft tissue injury thing.
I have a soft spot for Alshon.
I know you do. So, a lot of people do. Yeah, of course. Yeah. All right, let's talk tight ends here. Mike, pretty clear when you look at the top 5, and we've been talking about it. Sam Laporta, with everything he did as a rookie, comes in at number 1. And then Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Evan Ingram, George Kittle. That top 5 honestly looks pretty good. And here's my first thought. We've been talking about this. Tight end might be as deep as I've seen it in fantasy in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
When you look at tight ends 6 through 10, and those top 5 are all fantastic. Tight end 6 through 10, David Njoku, Trey McBride came on and was great last year. Dalton Kincaid in year 2. Jake Ferguson looked great.
Yeah, feels
for
so
Dalton
safe
Schultz.
In that offense.
Yeah, and then Dallas Goedert at tight end 10. We haven't even gotten to the Kyle Pitts who you had mentioned.
Or Dalton Schultz, who goes back to Houston with CJ Stroud. That's a great spot.
So when you're looking at this, the big question for me, all these top 10, I don't even really have a question about. They make a bunch of sense to me. Stefania, my question is really for you. TJ Hockenson obviously is not on this list because of the injury that he sustained late in the season. Tell me about his progress. What do we need to keep an eye on as we go through this and get into draft season with TJ?
It's still very early. I think the main thing that all we can say right now is that he had his surgery, but it was late. The injury was late. Then he had to wait a bit to have the surgery. And so I don't think you're really thinking about him being a factor until the second half of the season.
Okay. Yeah, so that's tough. When you have a situation like that, Mike, at a tight end position that's as full maybe as it's been in our fantasy lifetime, what is it that you do with TJ Hockenson? Do you have him outside your top 12 and probably just going to avoid him?
I think I will be avoiding him. It always comes down to ADP. You know, if you can get him with your last pick because it looks like he's going to start on PUP, that's a conversation about potentially taking his shot. But also, what if he's being drafted as tight end 8 and their quarterback is Nick Mullins or something, or a rookie? Then it's like,
great question.
You can't expect him to be a top 2, top 3 tight end without Kirk Cousins there right now. He wasn't that in Detroit. He's more of a mid-range tight end 1, but everything kind of came together for him with Kevin O'Connell running that offense with Kirk Cousins. So big concerns about Hockenson's stock for next year.
Yeah, that one's going to be tough. And then obviously we had already mentioned it, but I'm going to say it one more time. Kyle Pitts obviously getting Kirk Cousins under center. It's the idea of like, this can definitely move him up inside this. I love how strong tight end is because it feels like I'm not in that situation where it's like, I feel like I've got to go out and get one of the top three. Mm-hmm. Otherwise I'm screwed. There's plenty of the depth here this year that I'm really excited about.
I just love this little research note, because research notes on Kyle Pitts are always what he didn't do. You know? Uh-huh, uh-huh. One game with 15 or more fantasy points last season.
That's going to change. That's going to change with Kirk Cousins.
How about this? First rookie year, first at tight end average depth of target. Second year, first and average depth of target. Third year, first and average depth of target.
Wow.
He gets the ball vertically downfield, and he's 23.
Still young. I can't believe how young he is.
23 years old.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
There's tight ends that will be drafted in April that are older than him. Quite a few.
Oh, yeah.
How young Kyle Pitts is.
Yeah. All right. Honestly, and I'm going to ask this because we're about to transition really quickly into rookie talks. But when you talk about tight ends, there's only one rookie tight end that really feels like it's going to move the fantasy radar. That's Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. If you were to look at him, obviously he's not on a team yet. But is there a possibility that Brock Bowers in the right landing spot immediately lands as a top 10 fantasy asset?
Yeah, I'm not sure where he'll go exactly, but it's probably going to be in that, we'll say, 7 to 12 range, I would think, on draft day. So it's just tough because rookie tight ends usually are not fantasy relevant, but we've seen that start to change in recent seasons. So maybe he follows the lead of Sam Laporta and is very much on that radar. But again, it's also deeper than it's been in a long time, which makes it trickier. So I'm guessing consensus will be he's a top 15 fantasy tight end as a rookie.
Okay.
But part of that will be landing spot.
Yeah, depending on where he goes. If the Bengals move T. Higgins and he goes to Cincinnati, that would be a lot of fun. Open up a lot of targets there potentially. Hey, let's look at the top of your draft board then for these wide receivers. And it seems like it's pretty obvious. Marvin Harrison Jr. is just awesome. He's your number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the other two guys, Roma Dunze and Malik Nabers. My real question is, because those are the names, I feel like those four, right? Those three wide receivers and Brock Bowers, those are names that we've been hearing. After the combine, there were a bunch of guys that had a lot of buzz based on what they did, mm-hmm. how they ran. Did anybody move up your list based on combine performances for these rookies?
Yeah, I think some of the wide receivers kind of secured their spot and kind of became more solid options. Okay. They could go like the 1-2 turn. You think about Xavier Worthy, we talked about last week with Fields. So I won't get too into that, but Leggett, obviously from South Carolina, Field liked a lot. So guys like that, you know, again, could go early round two, late round one, and are going to be on the fantasy radar right away. Ladd McConkey, same thing. Look good out there. So receivers just really deep. It's really deep. And, you know, we're going to be taking these guys in non-super flex drafts right away. I have Harrison, Nabers, and Odunze. 1, 2, 3 on my board. Brian Thomas at 5. Then McConkey, Mitchell, Keon Coleman, Worthy, Leggett. Also all in my top 12. All of those receivers are in my top 12 overall. So that's the 12-team leagues. It's the first round of a rookie draft. So that's receiver, but I think...
I'll tell you what. I'm just in looking at receiver, everything you just said, if you're watching on the screen, you just got to the tier where we're talking about players 11 through 15 in these draft prospects. We finally see running back on the
first
board.
Running back. Yeah. But that's where I was going to go, because I think that running backs could end up a little bit undervalued because receivers so strong. Some of these guys are going to go places and get opportunities. I really like Jonathan Brooks, and there's a couple other guys who popped up during the process as well. I have three guys kind of in that first tier. Brooks, who maybe Stefani could speak to coming off the injury. Trey Benson and Jalen Wright. They're my big three at running back.
I love Jonathan Brooks. I actually asked him a question when he was talking to the media, because my question was specifically about, once he told us how he was doing, but for people who might not be aware, he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. He comes in behind Bijan Robinson and really saw himself as a player like that, who is multi-dimensional, right? That he can catch passes, he can run, all these things. Tears his ACL, doing well in his recovery. He'd just been cleared for running by the time we were at Indy, so he felt like he would be able to do all things at training camp. But we still have to remember, guys coming off the ACL tear, the numbers tend to be down, not to mention being a rookie in the NFL. So I don't think I would expect that any team is going to ask him to be full load carrying back in his first year, especially coming off the ACL, because you're making an investment in him. You have him for 4 or 5 years. That's what you want to do. But I asked him how he felt about the nature of the position and what his concerns were watching it from being in college. You know, you're coming out in the draft and just watching this year, we've talked about the value, and he kind of gave probably the answer you would expect someone who's coming in at that level to give, but it was mature in the sense that only can control what he can control. And he felt like if you were good enough and has been proven, which I mean, he's making a reference to people like Christian McCaffrey and probably what he thinks Bijan can do, then you'll be a guy who gets paid. And that ultimately that's what you're going to have to prove. And I think more running backs are starting to think of themselves that way, understanding they have to be able to be, and, you know, he's known for his blocking skills as well. Like, you have to be able to produce in all those areas in order to stay on the field and in order to, you know, get a big paycheck.
I'm not saying anything that I don't think anyone else is also thinking, because I'm totally with you. And I think that that is the way, unfortunately, running backs have to look at the market with the way that they're getting paid. It's just crazy to me that is not a shot at this guy, but that someone like MVS can get $30 million over 3 years and touch the ball like 50 times a season. Mm-hmm. And you can have a guy touch the ball over 300 times. And it's like, nope, we're not going to give you that kind of money. Like, it feels so backwards to me. Mm-hmm. And I realize I'm not an NFL GM. There's a reason why running backs have shorter shelf lives. But when you have some of these guys that can be game changers, there's a reason why you got to be able to give them the money, like Saquon Barkley, because of what they do. All right, Mike, we got through a bunch of your rankings. We're obviously going to dive in a bunch more as we get through the offseason, but I got one more question that I want to ask you.
All right.
I got a couple of prospects that are declaring for the 2024 draft for the Puppy Bowl, and I want to show you Zoe Dopp. All right, I want to get your prospect need. This is Zoe right here. 13 weeks old,
good name.
Good speed, lateral speed, a lot of quickness, stops on a dime.
I'm seeing it right there in that photo.
A lot of juke and spin moves. Yeah, you see that football there with Zoe. She's a little floofy dog, in case you're listening to the product. She's a little half poodle. And
she's also passed out on the floor. So nothing about speed
crashed.
And quickness is showing.
Yeah. She's not great with commands.
This isn't the word best tape I've ever seen.
She's not super housebroken. That's not the word that I was using. So we got Zoe Dopp declaring for the Puppy Bowl for 2024. We also have River Dopp on the other side.
River.
There she is also with a little
first
football.
First
She's got long legs. Deceptive speed is what it is. Mike, if you had to rank these two dogs.
Sneaky fast.
Dog one and dog two. Which one
tough.
Are you going to give it to?
I mean, River's a good name. Like River Craycraft.
Yeah,
a good
that's
name,
true.
But it's no Zoe. Because Zoe is my daughter's name. I'll be with a Y. I'm getting still images. I got to sit down and grind the tape.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got to see
your speed. We need some evidence of agility.
I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm gonna go Zoe here. Looks a little,
undersized.
Shorter legs, but I think she's probably agile, can get between the tackle, sneak past some defenders and linebackers.
Absolutely.
Whereas River has, tall. Yeah. That's like a Marvin Jones, like maybe more of a.
There you go.
A situational deep threat.
River can stretch the field.
That's what it is.
I think Zoe's producing more fantasy points. That's what it's about.
I like where you guys are at. This is what it's all about. Please send in more puppers so we can talk about them. Guys, this was a fun show. Thanks
what?
For hanging out.
I can't believe like
chaos.
That
that's
it's
what it was.
Over. It's total chaos.
Yeah, there's so much more to get
to. Come.
There's so much more to things.
And thank goodness that we have, how many months
to be able to
continue
digest it all.
To digest it and process it.
Next week, 2:30. I have a week now, so free agency will settle
that's
by then.
Right.
I'll have updated rankings and projections. And we'll get into
will
it.
Will you be
more.
Smiling next week? You were grumpy when we came to
the I was stressed coming in here. It's been
grumpy.
A day.
Yeah.
It's been
a day. And as soon as you're done, you got to get right back to the grind.
And I've taken Zoe to gymnastics and Casey. So yeah, it's on to the next thing.
On to it. Hey, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. Thank you for letting us be all over the place with today's show, understanding what today's news was. We love you guys. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. We'll see you next Tuesday. Peace.
A Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case, with projections that can put us in for